We have a very unusual service today. In fact, it's one of its kind. We've never done this before. I don't know going forward whether we'll do it ever again. I don't know. But I'm glad that we're going to be able to do it today. We've done it twice already. And I have to say that the response has been unreal, because hearts have really been spoken to and really been touched. I do want to introduce a guest today before we get to what I just mentioned. We have a young man who grew up in our ministry, who graduated from Bangor Christian Schools in 1997, who has gone on to teach, has done graduate work, has his master's degree in intercultural studies, and has become a missionary. He did his internship right here at Cross Point Church. He cut his teeth on right here at Cross Point Church. I was his junior high basketball coach. I don't know if I was very successful, but I did my best, right? And I'd like you to welcome him today. He's one of the missionaries that we support, and his name is Tim Hartman. So, Tim, come right ahead, would you? All right. It's good to see you. Welcome home.
Thank you. It is almost like a homecoming. So many familiar faces still, yeah.
This is home for you. His dad worked at WHCF for like 20 years or so. And so Tim has been a part of our church for many, many years. And tell us what's going on with you and your family now.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, a lot has happened. But what God has called us to is missionary mobilization. And so what mobilization is we are recruiting, training, coaching, and raising up laborers for the harvest field. And so we've been doing that for the last 7 years, six and a half with another organization, and now currently doing a similar role with Pioneers.
Now, tell us about Pioneers. That's a big organization.
It is a big organization. Pioneers has about 3,100 missionaries serving overseas in about 100 countries, engaging 200 or so people groups, specifically people groups that are unreached or unengaged, meaning they have little to no access to the gospel, nobody to turn to, even if they have heard the name of Jesus before. And so that's who we want to engage and want to raise up disciples who make disciples and plant churches.
Now, you have a table in the back, so you would like to encourage folks to come by and see you after the service?
Yeah, it's been great to interact with a lot of people already. We have a table in the back with our prayer card. As you see up on the screen, that's our prayer card. My wife, Megan, we've been married for 13 years, and our little girl, Liliana, she's about 20 months, the joy of our life. And you can pick up a prayer card back there because we do need your prayers. And also, you can sign up for our prayer newsletter to hear about what's been going on in our ministry. And hope to meet you.
Well, Tim, I want to publicly thank you from our church for going into missions and for being so faithful. And you're working with people that are transitioning from short-term missions into going full-time, long-term.
Yes.
So what's the challenge in that?
Yeah, the joy that we get to do is that. I mean, a lot of people go on short-term mission trips, especially young adults nowadays, and they have a heart to serve. They have a heart for God. They have a heart for the unreached. All of those things are already there, but it's sometimes hard to pull the trigger on going short-term and then investing your life to go back and learn language and learn culture and invest in relationships. And so we're trying to help bridge that gap. And so a lot of people today face fear of their family. Their family is unwilling or not wanting them to go, to take grandkids away and all that type of stuff. Raising support is still obviously a big piece as well, having to go out and raise that. I mean, there's all sorts of difficulties and obstacles that people face. And so the joy that we get to do is come alongside and coach and mentor them through those obstacles and help them overcome them.
Well, I'd like you to stand with me this morning. I'd like to have a word of prayer for Tim. Megan and his daughter are somewhere.
They're somewhere.
They're somewhere. They were here last service, but they're here somewhere. But we're just very proud of you being one of our own. I mean, we're proud of anybody that goes into ministry, but when you've kind of been raised and educated here and sent out by our church, it's just a little bit more special.
Cross Point. I keep wanting to say Bangor Baptist, but thank you for this church. I mean, like Pastor Jerry said, this is where my spiritual formation was here, in the youth group here at Bangor Christian. And I'm not where I am today. I am where I am today because of this church and all the great people here that have just poured and invested in my life.
When you were a sophomore at Bangor Christian, you gave your life to missions.
Yes. When we had a mission, not a missions emphasis week, but a ministry emphasis week when I was a sophomore here, and that's where God really called me into full-time ministry.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep. Well, we want to pray for you and wish you the very best. So let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for Tim and Megan and their daughter. And Lord, I'm just thankful that one of our own who was raised and educated here at Cross Point Church is now out doing missions. And I just pray, God, that you'd bless them as a family, meet their financial need as well. Lord, keep them safe and from the evil one. And we pray, God, that you would just give labor and fruit to the Hartmans. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Tim. God bless you so much. You may be seated, folks. And Tim will be out back, as he said. Also, at the end of the service, on your way out, we'll have an offering plate by each door. And if you'd like to put in a couple of dollars or 50 cents or a penny or whatever you feel led to do, we'll give all that to the Hartmans just as a love gift for being with us today. Now, let's do our memory verse real quick. Let me grab mine here. It is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. The memory verse today is actually a great representation and definition of the gospel. So if someone were to ask you, what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 is the answer. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So let's do it a few times together. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Boy, those are great verses for you to be familiar with. Let's do it one more time together. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. Let's stop. We can't give people the gospel unless we first received it ourselves, right? Very important. Okay, let's keep going. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Also want to mention that Paula Dunn will be doing a ladies' conference here on December 7th. You can buy your tickets in the foyer after the service today and all the way up to that particular conference. So ladies, please take advantage. It's only a half a day. It's not your whole day on a Saturday. It's just 9 to noon. And Paula does ladies' conferences all over America. And she's excited to be here at her home church. Also, we're starting two brand new ladies Bible studies. You're going to meet one of the teachers, one of the facilitators in just a moment. She's part of our panel. The other one is Sheila Collins and Tanya George are doing a Bible study together. Theirs is going to be during the day, and we'll give you more information. The other one that Diane is doing is going to be on Wednesday nights at 6 o'clock. So we've got a ladies' conference coming up. We've got two ladies' Bible studies starting in the next week or two. Check your newsletter this coming Thursday. Now, some of you say, what's the newsletter? Newsflash. If you want to know what's going on at Cross Point, every Thursday at noon, I do a little letter. And if you click on the newsletter, it gives you all the things that's going on, all the pertinent information. There are times that we're doing things that you're not aware of. 99% of your unawareness is because you've not read the newsletter. I know it's kind of long at times, but you can kind of go through and kind of look and see what's new and what pertains to you. How many of you took time to read the letter that I included in the newsletter from our Attorney General, William Barr? Anybody take time to read that? Okay. I'm doing everything I can. If you receive the newsletter, you say, well, I didn't even open it up. Okay, I forgive you. You've sinned, all right? We forgive you. We'll absolve you of those sins. Go back to the one that you deleted on Thursday. Open up the newsletter and read the letter from the Attorney General. Some of you didn't even know that was our Attorney General. His name is William Barr. He is a staunch, dedicated Catholic. And he did a speech at the University of Notre Dame's law school a couple of weeks ago. I watched the speech on YouTube. If you don't like to read, you can go on YouTube. Just Google in William Barr, Notre Dame Law School speech. It'll come up. You can watch it. That's 46 minutes. About the first 10 minutes is the introduction. Or you can just go back and read in the newsletter. He talks about the importance of God in culture. And let me give you the whole thing right here. He says a society will self-implode if there is no moral foundation. In other words, if we're expecting people to follow the law without God, it's not going to happen. And that's exactly what's happening in our culture. People only follow the law of the land because there's a higher power that they're accountable to. I could take his speech and read it on a Sunday morning and you'd think I wrote it. Well, no, he's too smart, but I'll take out some of the bigger words. But you would think it's a sermon right from Cross Point Church. He gets it. And I'm doing my best to keep you informed, so please take time either to read that or watch that on YouTube. By the way, Trunk or Treat yesterday was a home run. Off the chart. I mean, absolutely off the chart. It was so funny because I walked around the first 15 minutes, and it was so nice. You want to know why? No one knew who I was. And so I was listening to the conversation. Things like, oh, that pastor, I'll tell you what. And I just kind of walked on by, you know. And so I had this hunting outfit on with sunglasses and a ball cap. And there I was, amongst the crowd. But we had a great time. So all of you that helped, thank you so very, very much. All right. Would you welcome our panel today? Would you guys come? Come right ahead. Would you welcome them this morning? This is service number 3. I am not sure that we can be more effective than the first two. I don't know how we're going to do it.
We'll try.
The first two have just been...
We'll give it the best shot.
It's been unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been unreal.
What we want to know is how you do this every single week with this jabbed into your face.
Yeah, well, that's why by 12:30 I'm in bed. That's usually why.
By the way, is my hair...
Your hair is beautiful.
Yeah, your hair. Yeah, there's a hair out. Glenn, there's beautiful. A hair out right here. Right. We have... three, I'll call them organizations, because in some ways they are, or ministries might be better. We have three ministries in our church that deal in recovery. I want to say, first of all, as we talked yesterday together, everybody is in recovery.
Amen.
We're all broken one way or the other, amen?
Amen.
And so when we talk today, it's not them and us. I don't want you to think that way at all, because some of you, I probably do think that way. But we have three ministries that help people in chemical addiction specifically. One of them is the Mansion Church. They're downtown right now. They're finished with the message. They're probably having lunch. If you want an early lunch, go to the 10 o'clock service at the Mansion. Then you can have lunch down there. You don't even have to go to the restaurant, do you? You can just eat right there. And then they have church tonight at 5 o'clock. They reach the following population. Here is our target for the Mansion Church. Prostitutes, homeless, people coming out of incarceration, drug addiction, alcoholism. Those five. Two families in our church together gave about $150,000 to purchase the old Bangor floral shop that used to be a church, which is kind of interesting. Now it's come full circle again. And to renovate the building. And by God's grace, it's all done and it's all paid for. Praise God. It's all done. It's all paid for. So we praise the Lord for that. Crosspoint, we're very involved there. Our missions committee voted last year to support the mansion. We have many of our folks down there that help out with music, they help out with the food, so we're very involved. It's our ministry. That's why we're very involved. It's our inner city mission church. We also have Bridges. Bridges, we're going to explain what that is in a moment. That's Mark and Diane Baldock. And then we have the Serenity Recovery Group that meets every Wednesday. Even if the rapture occurred, they would still meet. That's how faithful they are, right? And that's Glenn Wilson on the end. Now, a few weeks ago, we had a grand opening for the Mansion Church. They did a ribbon cutting. We just want to show you about a minute or 2 minute clip, because I didn't get to see it myself because I was doing a wedding at 4 o'clock on that Sunday afternoon. And that was the exact time of the grand opening, which was really disappointing. I couldn't be there, but the wedding was kind of cool too. So I was able to do something that was awesome. So let's just watch this video. And Terry can't be here today for obvious reasons. So let's watch this and then we'll go to Bridges. Okay?
Cutting the ribbon, but I just want to say thank you again for all of you who have come. We're going to have a prayer here today to celebrate what God has done for us, and we must know that God's the one that gave us this building. We're debt-free, and we're just looking forward to what God's going to do in the future. So thank you very much for praying for us, and please continue to pray for us, and invite people to come to church here and be a part of our family that we have. And this is my mom. So I think it's important that mom's here with me, right?
Yes.
I'm going to pray first. All right, we're going to pray. So let's pray. Let's pray. All right, dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your love that you give us. Thank you for salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for the grace that you've given us over the years, the direction that you've given us, the wisdom to continue on, continue to fight the battle. And Lord, we're just grateful for each one who's come here today, that they will remember this day, the day that we opened this church for you, God, and we want to glorify you, God, in the future. And we always want to give you the credit for all of it, what you've done here. And Lord, we ask you to continue to use our church to reach the neighborhood here. We pray for those in the neighborhood right now that not even sure that they even go to church, but we just pray that the day that we can go out and outreach and talk to them, that they would come and be a part of our family. I thank you for my mom here, and I thank you for my family, all the support they've given me over the years, and we're just grateful for all that's here today. And we have many even praying for us from Africa today, and Russia, and other places that we've gone over the years, and we're grateful for how you continue to bless us, Lord. So we pray all these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Are we ready?
Yes!
All right. Get over it.
All right. That's your church. They're part of us. We're part of them. We call that Crosspoint South. All right, but they're very excited. I'm very excited, and Terry Dinkins is floating right now. He's so excited. They have been like the nation of Israel, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. They've just been going place to place, and now they have a home, which is awesome. So that's one leg of our recovery ministry. A second leg is Bridges, which is Mark and Diane Baldock. So why don't you explain to the church what Bridges is, what does the acronym mean, and what you guys do? Okay, whoever wants to go first.
Well, I'll say like I did last service, you know, the vision that Diane had for Bridges, she got before I was with her. And I think it's only right to not steal her thunder and allow her to explain the vision. But I do believe that it did not come to pass until God brought us together so that we could be a worthy, dedicated Christian couple in a pair to be able to bring this focus of Bridges to pass.
Amen.
Amen. So, Jesus and you are my thunder, just so you know that. So I saved what I wanted to say for the third service because I figured if I said it the first two that the pastor wouldn't let me come back. So I'm just kidding. I'm having trouble with my mic, so if you'll just...
You sound good.
Well, I have to hold it away from my face.
Yeah.
I've just been a technical nightmare for Scott, so sorry, Scott. So my story is I actually was raised in a Christian home. But, excuse me, I wound up in rehab at 19. So I actually got saved in this church when I was 16, but I did not know how to live life with Jesus, really didn't. And so, you know, when I was tempted to drink and drug with friends, and, you know, I was in a secular, Bangor High School, sorry, Bangor High, away I went. And so I found myself in rehab at 19. And I actually did not come back to church for 9 years. John Caston was my counselor when I came back to Christ. And he's part of the reason I'm sitting here today, because John was really the first person in the church who encouraged me to stay and work recovery, as well as be discipled. And so, thank you, John. What happened for me, though, is being in the halls of recovery for 9 years, I saw godly principles at work in people who were not Christian. And that made me scratch my head. And then I saw, when I finally came back to church, I saw people in the church who loved Jesus but desperately needed recovery. They did not have a way to live out their faith in a practical way, didn't really know how to deal with resentments, didn't really know how to just walk free in Christ. And so the vision of Bridges really was a desire to help those in recovery find faith in Jesus Christ and help people in the church find recovery and be able to live a better, more effective, freer life in Christ. So Bridges is an acronym. And it means building relationships, inspiring deeper growth, equipping those who serve. So it is definitely evangelical as far as, you know, being in the recovery community and trying to help people find Christ. But it's also very much for people in church to help people who love the Lord but really need practical application of how to live their faith on a daily basis.
Amen. And part of Bridges is transporting people to church as well as a support group that you guys have. But Mark, tell us about the van ministry on Wednesdays and Sundays that Bridges does.
Yeah, first I want to give thanks and praise to God for sending his son so that we can have the forgiveness of our sins. And I want to thank you, Jerry. I understand it's Pastor Appreciation Month.
Yes,
so that's what I heard.
You. Yes. So thank you.
The van ministry is something that I latched onto when I first arrived in Bangor here, and my coming to Bangor came through the passage of jail over to the Wellsprings program, which is a rehab program, 4 to 6 months in-house program for men. There's 15 men that live under one roof, and then there's another home for women where there's about 15 women that live under that roof. And when I arrived from jail at this rehab, I wanted to continue with my faith that I received in jail from this person who I consider an angel, where he told his story amongst 20, 25 different guys all dressed in green that I was a part of. And his testimony was so powerful and so real to me and so similar to mine with his life just going away from Christ and getting darker and darker and deeper and deeper. He said, to make a long story short, he said, you know, every one of you guys right here can have a new life. All you need to do is come to Christ, pray this prayer with me, continue to develop a relationship with Jesus, and your life will do nothing but get better. And out of the people that were there, I was the only one. I call it my kind of my road to Damascus moment, where the light came on, and I said, this is what I need to do. I want what that man has, and it's time for me to change my life. And if he can do it, I can do it. And I knelt down with him and prayed the sinner's prayer right there in jail, and my life started to get better from that day forward. And I didn't want to lose that. So when I arrived at Wellsprings, I immediately got on the phone, which was not my cell phone, by the way. It was a client phone that you had to wait and use and this and that. And I called different churches to see if I could get a ride. And there was a church that I went to, and they didn't have a ride service. I had to walk there. But anyway, this one particular church said, well, we used to have a van ministry. We stopped it for a lack of interest. But some people have been calling, and now that you're calling, we're going to go ahead and start it up again because we do have a van. So I started to go, and I started to invite other guys in the house to come. And then one would come, and then two, and then three. And then we started inviting some of the women from the women's house. And then that started to grow. And all of a sudden, we were a dozen of us going to church, enjoying ourselves, and really starting to have a better life. So that's where the whole van ministry vision came into my life. And then coming to Cross Point Church here, getting baptized at this church, I knew that there would be a great opportunity to get people to church. And Crosspoint was nice enough, gracious enough to supply us with two vans so that we can get people to church. And we've been bringing people to the 9:30 service and the 11 o'clock service. There are some that are here now because of that ride service.
Right.
There are some that are here now that while they were in Wellsprings, they were being driven by us, but now they're graduated on their own and still coming to Cross Point Church. Amen. I just had a couple come up to me at the end of the other service, said, you know, and it's nice to see fruit and get some results, because in this ministry, it's really difficult to see fruit. A lot of people fail. They say one out of 33 make it. And this couple came to me and said, if it wasn't for the van ministry, they would not be here today. They would not have the life they're having today. Her husband is coming to church with her now. They're both coming to church. Amen. They're both read the Bible every morning.
I didn't get much better than that.
That's right.
Amen.
And also on Wednesday night, you go to the Wellspring homes and bring them to Glenn's group.
Yes, we pick them up over there. We bring them over to Glenn's group, which is a faith-based recovery group, which Glenn will explain. Rapture Wilson. And we're also starting to play volleyball after the meeting. You know, just to get some good recreation involved in their lives and fellowship. You know, we're in a church. Well, we'll do the meeting. We speak openly about how Christ has been a part of our recovery and our transformation in life like mine. And we can have fun and we can laugh without having to drink or drug. Mm-hmm. And remember what we've done and look forward to doing these things that we lost, you know, become a child again and have fun.
Mark, it was hard for me to grasp it, and I'm sure it is for some of the people here. You had a loving family, I mean, other than regular tiffs that we all have. Wonderful children, successful business, college educated, college degree, and yet you find yourself in jail because of drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
And you tried things, you tried to quit, but you just couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it on my own. There was a point in my life where I actually had 3 years clean. I did not have Christ in my life. I had gone through this particular rehab for 30 days, and I came out, and I was managed to stay clean for 3 years, going to a 12-step program. But when my back was against the wall and a relationship went sour, I drank. I started drinking again, and I started drugging again. And I was back out, going further away from Christ, further away from my family. Relationships were being stolen, and I started getting, you know, I got an OUI, I wound up in jail, and, you know, there's a song out there that I heard recently. It was, thank you for the scars because it helped me come to you. And that's basically what happened to me is, you know, Jesus left the 99 and he came after me. Mm-hmm. I could have died numerous times with car accidents and running around with the crowd that I was with. I could have been dead so many times. Mm-hmm. But Christ saved me just for this very moment to be able to use my mess of a life that I made as a message to people that there's hope and that we can all have a transformed life and have a better life. And it doesn't have to be, you know, someone who made the papers. I mean, we all are sinners. We can all have a better life. We can all do better in Christ's eyes. So this Life Recovery Bible that we use brings out the best in us, and it helps us to be able to be better Christians.
I think before we go to Glenn, with you and Diane, you both could give testimony, but I think, Mark, you did it last service, and you may want to do it again. Even though you've been sober 10 years, you've been a Christian for 10 years, you're growing, you're doing ministry, there's carnage. I mean, the past just doesn't always just get fixed. I mean, you're still struggling through the hurts and the pain of the past and trying to reconcile. Why don't you talk just a moment about that for those that are out there who think it's just fun and games, they better be very careful, because things can digress quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody takes the first drug or the first drink and says, yeah, I want to be an alcoholic or drug addict.
Right.
But it happens. So for you, now that you're clean, tell us what you're dealing with, that God's helping you still work through with family and all those things.
Yeah, the consequences are real. I have three children, and I have a relationship with only one of them, the oldest one right now. And she is saved. Her husband is saved. They have two wonderful children. And the other two children, I don't have any communication with right now because of just the way life has happened and the way I kind of drifted away from them. We are in the process right now, Diane and I, of overseeing a group. It's called the One Good Step Family Group on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. And it talks about the consequences of step families and the things that you have done in the past. And it really just helps you to be able to bring things to Christ. You know, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be problems. And it says in the Bible, and there's going to be sorrow. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. And Christ has overcome the world, and I truly believe that he is going to bring everything together. My other two children will, in time, come to their senses. They'll come to Christ, and they'll come to me. But it takes work. You know, I have to be consistent and vigilant to continue to draw closer to Christ, and he'll draw closer to us.
Because many times in your past, you know, for you and I talking, well, I'm going to quit this time, or I'm not going to do it again. But you kept falling and falling. And so there's that, oh, yeah, that's just Mark
right. Well, you know, we don't think we're going to be the one that's going to be the addict and get the OUI and go to jail, where it's not going to happen to me. Well, that's what I was thinking,
right.
You know. But once you start getting into drugs and you get addicted, I did not choose to get further away from my family. That's the essence of addiction. You become a different person. Mm-hmm. I was not who I am right now then. The mind, the brain just becomes addicted to whatever you're on, and without any decision at all, you just get drawn to that drug, and it's overpowering, and there's no real explanation, and it's hard for us to imagine why our kids do this, or our husband or our wives do this. It's not a choice that we make. It's an addiction.
To give the church an idea, as we met yesterday, to give you an idea of the problem with drugs in our culture, 192 people every day die of drug overdoses. That's 70,000 plus every single year. It's about 10 to 11,000 that die every day because of alcoholism. And that doesn't include the thousands of people that die because of drunk drivers.
That's right.
The number of people that have been maimed because of drunk drivers. Glenn mentioned in the first service there are 30 million alcoholics in America, and each of those affect 8 people. Mm-hmm. So 8 times 30, that's 240 million out of the 320 million people in America that are directly or indirectly affected because of alcoholism. And so Glenn runs a group on Wednesday night that Diane and Mark bring people to through the van ministry at Bridges, called the Serenity Recovery Group. Every Wednesday, downstairs, room 8, 6 o'clock. Glenn, what goes on downstairs?
You're a hard act to follow.
Welcome to my sure world.
Good morning. My name is Glenn Wilson, and I run the Serenity Recovery Group on Wednesday nights, rain, snow, or shine. The Serenity Group, we use what we call a Serenity Bible or a Serenity Book that has the 12 recovery steps in them. And what we do each week is we read a step. Once we finish reading the step, then we discuss that step. And those steps are to help people get well, help them to get their lives straightened out, help them to get the garbage out that's in there, that's eating at them. It teaches them a new way of life. But the ultimate goal of the Serenity Group is to bring people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the only answer in recovery. Now, I have friends that are in recovery that are unsaved. They've been sober 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. But trust me, their life is upside down. The only thing they've done is put down the drink or the drug. Because alcoholism and drug addiction is a disease of the attitude. It's got to go from here to here. And until you get Christ, you're not going to get it. Trust me. I'm going to give you an example. In fact, I want to back up for just a minute. I was about 8 years sober, and I had prayed for a year that God would give me a ministry that I could help other alcoholics and drug addicts. And I didn't have any idea what it was going to look like or what I was going to do. I was just seeking, and I prayed every day diligently. One day, the pastor called me up and came to my office. He wanted to see me. And he said, you know, we have people that are suffering in our community, and part of our responsibility as a church is to reach out to those folks that's got alcohol and drug problems. He said, would you be willing to start a group for alcoholics and drug addicts? Well, immediately I said yes, because I knew he had answered that prayer for me. I mean, who would imagine I'd prayed for a year, and here he is over here calling me and asking me. That's the power of prayer, trust me. I'm going to give you two examples of what happens to people when they get into a room where Christ is talked about, where Christ has talked about recovery. My wife and I had a lady friend we knew for about 20 years, and she'd been sober 17 years. The furthest thing from her mind was God. She didn't want nothing to do with God, but she was willing to come to the Serenity Group. She came for 3 months straight, and just about every week, if I mentioned a passage out of the Bible or I mentioned God, she would take me to task. This went on for about 3 months. One night after the meeting, she came up to me with tears in her eyes, and she said, can I go to church with Trudy and you on Sunday night? Yes, you can. She came that Sunday night. She walked the aisle and accepted Christ as her personal Savior. That's the power of prayer.
Amen.
I'm telling you. I had another instance, as you heard earlier. Even if church is closed on Wednesday night because of a snowstorm, I will always have that Serenity Group open. So I came a couple of years ago. The storm was so bad, I shouldn't even been out on the road. But trust me, I'm a crazy driver, so I'm out in anything. I got here, and there was three people. One was Bob, who helps me each and every week to set up for the meeting. And there was two ladies that came. Somebody, somewhere in this city, had told them about this meeting. One woman had only been sober 3 years, and she was just like this. She was no more than 40 years old. And as far as I know today, if it hadn't been for that meeting, she wouldn't be sober. That's the importance of that meeting. But it's Christ-centered, that's what we teach, and that's what we try to nurture the people with. Some reject it, some accept it. But trust me, the people that have come into those rooms, hundreds of people that have given their life to Christ, their lives have changed.
Amen. That's good stuff, Glenn. Amen.
Very good.
Diane, we were talking a little bit yesterday and early this morning in the services, and you can address this. And I'll give you the quote, then you can just go with
okay.
it. Okay? People in recovery need Christ, people in Christ need recovery. We're all broken, aren't we?
Amen. You know, the interesting thing about being in the halls of recovery is just seeing the authenticity. And, you know, James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. And in the halls of recovery, it's just taken as, you know, a matter of fact that you're there because you're, we jokingly say, we're all here because we're not all there.
Yeah, that's it.
And the beautiful thing about it is that we don't have to pretend with one another. We don't have masks. We're very real. And it is where the healing begins, you know. It's just such a gift to be able to not pretend. And I think sometimes in the church, you know, like I said, you know, we've seen really ungodly people apply godly principles and sometimes have more depth and more character than a lot of Bible-believing Christians who just really don't know how to apply the Word of God to their lives. And so, you know, in the church, you know, we need to stop pretending, right? We need to take the masks off. And you know, I didn't say this in the two previous services, but it was really on my heart. You know, if you're sitting in this church week after week and no one knows you and you don't feel connected, can I just encourage you to please change that? Like, come to a Bible study. Come to a Sunday night group or a Wednesday night group or Sunday morning and be in part of a Sunday school class. And get to know people, because none of us can do this alone. We just cannot do this alone. And it is true that we're better together. You know, when we look at this, that we're all in this together and that we all are broken in some way, right? The Word says we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? And His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
That's right.
Like, we come into church and we pretend that His strength is made perfect in our strength. And it's not. It's made perfect in our weakness. So as we come together and walk this journey together and bear one another's burdens, we're strengthened, we're better, and I think we're more effective out there because we learn to be real. And that is what the world needs to see.
Yeah.
They need to see people who love Jesus but are real people.
Amen.
I was just thinking, one of the verses we use in the Serenity Group is Galatians 6:1. If anybody's caught in a sin, those who are spiritual should restore them gently, or watch yourself.
Yes.
You could also be tempted.
Amen. Mark, we'll close with you. People that maybe are experimenting with alcohol and drugs, what advice would you share with them?
Well, like I said earlier, you know, you always think it's not going to happen to me. I try and live my life today as best I can to do, you know, I used to see the bumper sticker WWJD and wonder what that meant. What would Jesus do? And that's kind of how I live my life today. You know, you don't think you're going to be the one that's going to get caught up in drinking too much. But if you want to be a good witness to your wife, your family, your friends, you know, I would not recommend that you drink. There are some people that can have one or two drinks, and there are some people that just can't. But you never know when you're in the company of someone who really shouldn't have a drink, and then you start to drink, and makes them feel like, well, maybe they should have a drink. You cause another person to stumble, and it's not the godly way. It's not the Christian way. You know, it says in the Bible, don't be drunk with wine. You know, it doesn't say don't drink, but it says don't be drunk with wine. So getting drunk is not the way to go. And I mean, it really just took my life right down into darkness, and it made my life worse. There's no doubt about it. And there's help. There's help out there, and we can all help each other. You know, what we experience in these meetings, in Glenn's meetings, is the authenticity and the honesty that is in those meetings,
right,
where people on a weekly basis share their their weaknesses and their experiences, and other people chime in and say, well, you know, I've experienced that also, and this is what I did, and found out that, you know, reading scripture each day and coming to these meetings really helped me overcome a situation just like yours. So when you see proof of someone who's overcome a struggle that you're having, then you have hope.
Can I just mention two or three things quickly?
Sure.
Five, six.
One, I meant to mention in the last two services, but we have a huge need. We really need some people to step up, if they're willing to help us, to drive the vans on Wednesdays and Sundays. We're very short of people, and some Sundays it's only Mark or Ron that does it. So if there's anybody interested in being part of the ministry, just to drive the van on those nights or on Sundays, that would be appreciated. There was one other thing.
Well, we can.
Oh, and I want to invite anybody here. Sorry. You know, I want to invite anybody here, whether you're an alcoholic or you have an alcoholic in your home or in your family and you're troubled by it, please stop by on Wednesday night and come visit. We would really love to have you come, so you can learn about what goes on with people that are alcoholics and drug addicts. And believe it or not, it will help you.
Amen.
That's it.
You sure?
Yeah. No, I know, I talk too much, that's my problem.
No, wait, can I say one more thing?
Sure, why not?
Just one more thing. So part of the reason that Pastor Mick a lot of times asks us to come and stand at the front after the service is because we are you, okay? Right. When Mark and I have the opportunity to stand up here and pray, we're not standing here as people who have it all together. We're standing here as people who have been so broken and have desperately needed the grace of God and the mercy of God and have found it. So if you need prayer, please come and pray with us or pray with Pencil, or Glenn would be willing to pray. I mean, we care, we have been there, and we know that the power of God is real.
Amen.
Can I just say one
thing? Sure.
No, why not?
Somebody better order lunch.
I just want everybody to know, this is not about us.
No.
This is all about Jesus.
Amen.
And
Amen.
How he has saved our lives. He has transformed our lives.
Amen.
We want to be as much like him as we can, and we want to come to serve. We want to be there for people to be able to pray with them.
Amen.
This is not a comfortable situation for me, and I'm sure for Diane also. This is out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
But if you want something different, you got to do something different.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why we're here. That's all. I'm done.
Jerry, thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Yes,
glad you guys could do it. It's great. And you know what? Yeah, give them a round of applause. Yeah.
Very cool.
As we if the ushers would get ready, you guys can just stay for this one. Just stay. Just stay with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't leave me.
Okay. We're with you.
Don't leave me nor forsake me.
Okay. Never.
We might have another
thing. Never do that.
You know, these missions cards, and we will be collecting these for the next month. So if you're not ready today, that's fine. Most people aren't. But over the next 4 to 5 weeks, in the offering, if you would just drop this card in, your money is going right here. If you're the type of person that you just can't foresee, you know, missions in Africa or Asia or Antarctica or Siberia or South America, you can see this. This is real. They're doing missions right here at Cross Point Church. So if you're not moved to be part of our missions program, I don't know how to help you. I don't know what else to do. We are ministering to the people you're sitting by or close to you right now that you don't even know about. Am I right?
Yeah,
absolutely right.
You have no idea. You say, oh, I know them. Oh, no, you don't know. Trust me. I know them, and I know you too. You have no idea who is struggling with drugs and alcoholism and all kinds of addictions that the mansion and Bridges and Serenity is dealing with. So I would just challenge you that if you can't see outside of Bangor missions, the money that you give toward this program is also poured into these ministries and the mansion as well. So what we want to do over the next 4 or 5 weeks is collect these cards Last year, $173,000 was pledged. Yeah. As of last Sunday, $167,000 has come in.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Now, that doesn't include today's offering. Here's the reality of it. I dare you. In fact, I encourage you. Go to any nonprofit organization that does pledge drives and ask them if 100% comes in every year. They will think you are on drugs or alcohol.
Yeah they will. Yeah.
That's impossible. I'm just telling you, that does not happen. It just doesn't happen. But it happens here. Why? Because people are committed to reaching the lost for Christ. And we're all in recovery, but quite honestly, if the mansion and Serena Bridges, if there was no Christ component, we wouldn't be involved. Because I know what really works is recovery and Christ together.
Amen.
Gives people the best opportunity to beat addiction.
Absolutely.
And not only that, you get eternity to boot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Glenn.
Yeah. Just to give you an example, I had a lady come up to me after the second service that goes here to church every week. Tears in her eyes. She came up to me. Her husband's an active alcoholic. Mm. And you can see the suffering in her eyes. So I gave her a Serenity book. Another couple came up from New Hampshire that's helping a gentleman that's just getting out of prison. So I gave them a book and, explained to them, gave me my telephone number. But that's how it works.
That's right. It's exactly how it works. You know, Martin Luther King, the I Have a Dream speech. Some of you young people might not know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, well, we're going back a little bit. I have a dream. Every year I say this, and I pray before I get hit by a bus or retire that every single family would participate in Faith Promise. Now, here's how easy it is. Wherever you are, find a can or a bottle and turn it in and get a nickel. And give it to missions once a week.
That's right.
Is there any reason why every single family at Cross Point can't do something for missions? There's no reason why we can't do that. Wouldn't you agree with that? I mean, is that hard for every month, maybe once a month you come to church, you get one of those envelopes in front of you and take your dollar and throw it in for the month and write missions on it? This isn't a guilt trip. This is reality. I think if every family is not willing to do something, if for no other reason to support these people, then we have a bigger problem than we think we do. Mm-hmm. Because if there's one thing that Jesus did is he went around helping hurting people. And he combined helping hurting people with the gospel. And that's what we do. And so I want to encourage you over the next month. We don't want your name, your address, we want nothing. All we want is you to do to put what you think you can do per week over the next year. And it goes down to a dollar a week, and then the very top one has a box and a line. If you can't do a dollar a week, put a penny a week, put a nickel a week. I'll give you a nickel a week if you see me just to do it. Because this is the product. I mean, I'm bringing the product to you. You're sitting there thinking, oh, I don't want to get to mission. That doesn't work. Da-da. Okay. Live and in color.
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the ushers to come. And I know everybody's not ready today. But over the next week, if you would fill this out. If you have a card and you've checked a box, just pass it to your left. Just pass it right down the aisle. I know some people did it last week. Some people will do it the next 4 weeks. This would be the only time that we do it this way. So all through November, I'm going to ask you, when you make a decision, if you would just mark the box and drop it in the offering plate. Okay, so pass your cards to the left if you fill them out today. You guys can go down. Thank you very, very much. They will be in. Yeah, give them a round of applause. Okay. Now, Ryan's going to come. Come, Ryan. When this morning, after Ryan prays and dismisses us, they will be in the back. If you have any questions about recovery, if you have somebody that you know that needs help, or you have questions on how to deal with somebody in addiction, these are the people that you can seek out. They can help you. They can offer me. Go ahead and go to the back of the auditorium, guys. Glenn, head out back to the back of the auditorium. So if you have any questions, they'll be back there. They'll help you. They'll answer your questions. They'll offer you resources. If you're here this morning and you have questions about God, Pastor Pencil's down front this morning. We'd love to be able to talk to you about God as well. I hope you enjoyed this today. This was different. Did you enjoy? Yeah, this is really different. This is where life is. This is real life. Okay? All right, Ryan. Ryan has gone through some serious knee surgery. He was down for 3 weeks. He was on a brace. But look at you.
I'm back.
They've rebuilt you.
It's going great.
Better than ever.
I know.
Better than ever. Come on over and dismiss us in prayer. It's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, Jim.
All right.
I just want to praise God for our local missionaries, because, I mean, it is incredible to see what they're doing. So if we can have one more round of applause just for everything that God's doing through them. I mean, it's incredible. And I can attest to, I mean, Diane and Mark, they have been there. I tell you what, it doesn't always look the same. Some people you think have it all together. And you know what? There was times in my life that some of the darkest times. And Diane and Mark were there for us in times where I thought it was all over. And it's incredible to see just the fruit of their ministry and fruit of what God is doing just all around here. And I would encourage you, if you don't have, just like Diane was encouraging in the message, if you don't have someone that you can go to, or that you can, if you're just isolated and alone, that is not, that this is a family. This is a family. This is not supposed to be our individual alone journey. This is a family and a community, and I would encourage you to get plugged in, or at least to reach out to somebody. But just to let you ladies know a few announcements real quick. Paula Dunn is having a conference, and Paula, if you've been around Crosspoint for any length of time, Paula comes in at least once a year. She's a musical artist, an incredible woman. She actually used to be plugged in here to Crosspoint for many years, and so they have deep roots here in the community, and they live in Lynchburg, but she's going to be coming up December 7th. They're going to have a conference. Tanya, I believe, is out back, and they are selling tickets, so I'd encourage you for that. And also for the ladies groups that are about to launch, I know Diana's leading one, and I can I can't recommend highly enough. I've rarely met anyone in my life that has been wiser and just has a heart for people and women and just families. And so thank you, everyone, for coming. We're going to pray, and then you guys are going to go out, and we're going to have a great week. All right. Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for this mission conference, this time that you have just given us, Lord, to just celebrate what you're doing all around the world and right here in Bangor. God, we just love you. We thank you. I pray that this year, for the rest of this year and into next, God, that we would just represent you well. God, that we would be able to just pursue everything that you have for us. God, that we would take those moments, Holy Spirit, when you're knocking on our heart to talk to that person or to give something to that person, Lord, that we would just take that time to be missional in our everyday life. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you're doing here and all that you're doing all around the world. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, everybody.